Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm good. Yes, y'all wonderful people know how to set your clock. It's like that old boy that rode into town on Friday, stayed for 3 days, and left on Saturday. How'd that happen? Oh, some of y'all know that one. His horse was named Friday. Listen, I want to get into some stuff, but I wanted to share this, read this. Kelvin, during our prayer time this morning, read this, and I believe it's, as we sung that last song, I hear the chains falling, and, you know, it's, people are bound. People have allowed themselves, we have allowed ourselves, and I'm including myself in there, we have allowed ourselves to be bound by things that ought not be binding us. And I believe some of it is just pure ignorance, and that's not a bad word, that's just a not knowing. They don't know how to appropriate or apply the Word of God to a certain situation in their life. I believe some of it is we give into it. Sometimes we know better, right? I mean, have you ever been in that situation? You know better. You know you ought not be worrying about this. You know you ought not be anxious in this area. You know that you ought not be doing these things. Like Paul said, I do those things that I ought not. And those things that I should do, I don't do. We've all been there, right? And so sometimes we just we get wrapped up in the distraction of whatever it is, and we just allow it. Sometimes, golly, I'm gonna beat myself up here. We're just lazy. I admit, sometimes I'm lazy about applying the Word. Isn't that sad? I mean, I can stand here before you and I can honestly say sometimes I just get lazy. You know, you keep standing and you stand and you stand, and you know the Word says to stand, and when you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore, which means keep standing, and you get lazy. I get lazy. I get tired. I'm like, God, how long am I going to have to stand? Come on. I know what your Word says. But let me read out of Ephesians chapter 6. Because we're to be strong. We're to be strong, church. In our own might? In ourselves? In and of ourselves? Let me read in verse 10, and says, in conclusion, so you're going to have to go back and read what he was talking about there, but in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. This is out of the Amplified, Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Are we in union with the Lord? Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might provides. Put on the whole armor. You know, what does it say? Put on one part of the armor? Only put on the helmet of salvation. That's good enough. Huh? We're a faith church. Only take up the shield of faith. That's good enough. No, it says put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which who supplies the armor? God supplies the armor. That you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. How many know that the devil has strategies in place for your life? He's called the fowler. Does anybody know what a fowler is? One that catches birds by typically laying traps for them. He has strategies for your life, to derail your life, to derail your call, to derail your direction. And he lays traps. The enemy lays traps. But we're to know our enemy, right? If we know how he operates, we can avoid so much, right? Verse 12, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. And let me just stop right there. Somebody needs to hear this today. When we, and you should know this, we all should know this. When people come against us, I don't care what the setting is, whether it's a job, relatives, spouse. I mean, it doesn't matter, okay? When people come, you've got to understand, and this is, listen, we're talking about going deeper with God, right? That's what we've been. You've got to understand this. This is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare 101, okay? You've got to understand that when people are coming up again, it is not the person. It's not flesh and blood that you are fighting with. What does the word say? You are not contending only with physical bones, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers. Who rules the world? Not women. It's a song, okay? Come on, I'm just... Not God. Despotisms, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. He is the power of the prince of the air. We don't wrestle with flesh. We don't... We just got done... finished up a 6-part series of Art of Marriage classes. And I don't know if they... I can't remember if they addressed it in this 6-part series. But if you go to A Weekend to Remember... they are big on this phrase. My spouse is not my enemy. And you can transfer that to, you know, my coworker is not my enemy. My brother-in-law is not my... My mother or my father-in-law are not my enemies. They are not... My mother-in-law is not my enemy. Let me reiterate. But it is the powers, the rulers of darkness. It's a spiritual battle that we are in. Not flesh and blood. Not flesh and blood. What are we talking about here? Putting on the whole armor. We're talking about growing up in the things of God so that we can go deeper with God, so we can live victoriously in this earth, so that we can share the gospel victoriously with all that we come in contact with, letting our light shine wherever we go. Amen? The world rulers of this present darkness against the spirit forces of wickedness in heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. Walk in truth. You know, since my kids, I think, can recall, I hope they recall this, I've always told them, listen, tell the truth no matter what. Even I don't care how much hurt it causes, maybe even the other person, yourself, but always walk in the truth, because it will inevitably come back to, I'm not going to say haunt, bite you, or cause you harm and pain, and that harm and pain will be greater, trust me, than what you're going to go through by revealing the truth in that moment. And when you walk in the truth, you don't have to worry about what you've said, because you've said truth. Amen? complete armor that you may be on there. And having shod, let me get back to 14. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. The breastplate of righteousness. We have to, church, have to understand our righteousness. Understand who we are in Christ. Understand our right standing with God. If we don't, we are going to be bound by those chains. Those chains will keep us bound. But when we know who we are in Christ, that it gives us authority in this earth. 15, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. We're to be instant, in season, and out of season. We're always to have an answer for the hope of glory in us. Always. Always with our firm feet firmly placed on the rock that is Jesus. 16, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Faith, what do we sow here? What do we endeavor to sow here at Christian Growth Center? Come on, don't all y'all say it at once. What is our vision? Come on, 3-point vision. I'm going to get up here every Sunday, and that's the first thing I'm going to say every Sunday until y'all can say it in your sleep. You're going to be dreaming about me getting up there on Sunday saying, so grow and go, so grow and go. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night singing, so grow and go, so grow and go. What am I? You're going to get there. We're going to get there together. Amen. Where am I at? 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. But it doesn't stop there. Not only do we take on that armor, the whole armor, not one piece at a time, the whole armor, but then it says pray at all times. On every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, that's God's consecrated people, and pray also for me, this is Paul, that freedom of utterance, and I would say pray for whoever stands in this pulpit, pray for each other because you all are heralds, preachers of the word. So we ought to be praying for each one of us for that freedom of utterance may be given to us. That we may open our mouths to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news, the gospel. Amen. I've, you know, talking a lot about last days, and y'all know we're going to be starting a class, end time class. We have to recognize and understand where we are, I believe, and why. Not to create fear or turmoil, but to bring clarity, to bring a sense of urgency for the days that we are in. To give a... to help us look beyond the here and now and what the sufferings of these days are, giving us hope for a future and what our future is, so that we can share boldly with others. Amen? All right. Well, I just wanted to share that. I thought it was important We haven't talked about the armor of God in quite a while. And when Kelvin read that this morning, I think we just needed to get it back refreshed within us, right? That we have tools. We have things that God has given us, because it said right there that we need to be using in our life. No longer ignorant of those things that are available to us. Amen. So now all y'all are accountable for what you hear. You are accountable for what you hear. Now, what you do with it, that's your choice, right? We are free will beings. We have a choice. You can either choose to meditate and chew on what we just shared about the armor of God and how it benefits you and how you're to be placing it on you and what that means. Or you can choose to ignore it. I would pray that you would choose the prior, not the latter. So, what have we been talking about? Last week, I said that each of us has a responsibility to advance the kingdom of God in our own season, in our own unique way. We're all called of God to different, I won't even say levels, to different callings. We're all called to different callings, unique in and of each one of us. Your calling is not my calling. My calling is not yours. Your reach is different than my reach. It may overlap at some points, and I'm talking about souls here. But you're going to reach people that I will never get a chance to see or meet sometimes. So we're talking about that. We're talking about having a responsibility to advance the kingdom of God in our own unique way. You don't have to... How can I say this? And let me just take a sidebar here, a little diversion to help explain myself. I knew that I was called very soon after I got born again. I knew I was called to some kind of, we'll call it the fivefold ministry, what we know to be the fivefold ministry. And all that time, I had this image in my mind. Reggie was talking about images and how powerful they are. I had this image in my mind of this being this big time, I'm just going to be honest with you, being this big time preacher, right? And preaching to thousands of people. And, I'd watch, and I didn't watch much of Billy Graham growing up. I do remember some of his crusades on the TV. I do remember them, but I don't, have a intimate recollection of them. But those were the pictures I would get in my mind. I'll just be honest, those were the pictures I could get in my mind. But as I've matured, I know that God has called me to a unique place. And right now that is right here at Christian Growth Center. And I don't have to be speaking to thousands of people to make an impact. If I am doing what God has called me to do, if I am believe that I am in the right place for the right time, then I am going to impact lives some way, shape, or form. That is you need to believe that for yourself. Where you are right now, if you believe that you are where God wants you to be, you are called to make an impact in lives right there around you. And you have a unique ability to do that, right? Crystal's a hairdresser. She sees people every day, in and out, every day. I couldn't go into her shop and minister to those people that come in there like she does. She sees them month after month after month. She has a relationship with them. And many of you could say the same thing in whatever profession you're in. You see the same people, day in, day out. Hopefully, somewhat about their lives and what they're going through and what they're dealing with. And I believe that if you ask of the Lord, He will show you, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you how to share with those people in a way that they'll receive it and they'll be impacted by it. Whether they're believers or non-believers, if they're believers and struggling, you have an encouraging word. If they're non-believers, you'll lead them to Christ and at least introduce them and let them know who He is. Amen? But anyways, so my encouragement in sharing that with you is be encouraged in where you are right now and thrive where you are right now. Thrive where you're planted right now. Thrive where you're planted. Amen? But just a little bit of review. You know, we started in Romans 8, verse 18. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And we shared out of verses 4 and 6, and this is the we are to set our minds and seek those things which gratify the Spirit, not gratifying our flesh. I mean, the world is all about gratifying our flesh. And when I had that image of myself, I believe I was gratifying my flesh with that. I do. Now some can say that, you know, they get a vision or a prompting or a leading from the Holy Spirit that's the direction and that's where the Holy Spirit will reveal things in our future. Well, I do not believe that was a revealing of where I was to be. That was me gratifying my flesh and what I thought I should be doing. Does that help anybody? Or am I just talking to myself? I just preached to myself. I'll just preach to myself today and maybe y'all can just glean from my life. And it'll help somebody. We talked about looking beyond our mere mortal bodies and looking into the realm of the Spirit and how this helps us in the here and now, because it's the hope of glory, right? How does that help us in the here and now? You know, a lot of us, and you'll hear this, religion will say, oh, in the sweet by and by, you know, things will be perfect. In the sweet by and by, I'll just suffer here on earth for Jesus. I'm going to suffer for the Lord. Let me just suffer, 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 suffer. That sounds good, doesn't it? No. Does that mean we're just waited out here on miserable earth for some sweet bye-bye? Well, yes, but emphatically no at the same time. What do I mean by that? We're in a fight, right? Scriptures say that we're in a fight. We're in a fight of faith. Kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I thought of that song Reggie and Elaine at Restoration used to do, and I can only remember scratching and matching those angels to the demons. How's it go again? Reggie, help me out. Okay, it'll come to me. Did y'all figure out that Friday's a horse yet? Keep on keeping on. Is it? We've got the victory. That's a different song? Well, I think you should put them together. I think it'd make an awesome song. Two different songs, two different, okay. We've got the victory by the blood of the... Okay. I told you, I'm just entertaining myself today. Right? Just having fun. I'm just having fun. What did I say? Yes and no, right? We're to be here. We're to be here on this miserable earth. Yes and no. Yes, Paul thought it was better to be with Jesus. He said, I think it's better to be with Jesus. But... for your sakes, I need to stay here on earth. That's what he said in my paraphrase. he needed to stay. He needed to stay here in this earth. He decided to stay. Why? Because of you and me. If he didn't, my goodness, what, you know, we wouldn't have the revelation that he has given through writing the epistles of God's word. Amen. But no, in the same time, in the sense that our sufferings don't have to make us miserable. Do I need to say that again? Our sufferings, whatever you are going through right now at this moment, do not have to make you miserable. They do not have to make you miserable. Or anxious. Or desperate. Or fearful. Or mean. Or regretful. Because Jesus said he came to do what? Give us life. And what kind of life? More abundant life. That is why I can sit here before you and confidently say, whatever you are going through, you don't have to be miserable in it. And it may be a miserable thing. I'm not discounting what you're going through at all. I'm not saying that it means nothing. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you don't have to be miserable in it. Because Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. According to Strong's, that word life, and this is, let me just tie this together. It means both of physical or present, and spiritual, particularly future existence. He's talking about life here on earth. You know, he's not reserving it for when you the new heaven appears. He's saying that he came to give us life now, here, in the present tense, right now. And life more abundantly. That word abundantly means all around, more than, beyond what is anticipated, exceeding expectation, more abundant, going past the expected limit, more than enough. That's abundance. Exceeding expectation. We say it all the time, right? Did you come expecting today? What do you come expecting? What, when you come through, and this is, I'm not going to ask for responses, but just think to yourself, when you come on Sunday to the gathering of the saints, what do you come expecting? Do you come expecting a miracle in your body? Do you come expecting a word of knowledge or wisdom? Do you come expecting to see something, a miracle in someone else's life? What do you come expecting? A move of God. What does that mean?
That means all of it.
All of it.
Every last ounce.
Every last ounce. Well, Jesus said that he gave that and more. Beyond our expectations. We're to be worry-free, fear-free, miserable-free in the here and now. Why? Because of Jesus and what he did and what he provided and the abundant life that he left for us. See, we can look beyond the here and now, knowing where our help comes from and what our future is. We can look to Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. What does that look like to you? What is he interceding for on your behalf? You have someone, the person of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, listen, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, interceding on your behalf for whatever you're going through. But you want to put it on yourself. You want to take it on yourself. You want to handle it yourself. Let me tell you, I got news for you. You can't handle it. You weren't built to handle it. You got to let it go and let God. And we can do that. And that really, gives us freedom. When we can release those things, that gives us freedom. When we understand the price that Christ paid for us, when we understand our authority. What am I talking about? I'm talking about going deeper with God. We need to get to a place where we stand in a place of authority because of how we understand what the Word says about us and for us. We need to get to a place where we can stand in that place of authority to share that with people, to walk in victory ourselves. Because let me tell you, if you're not walking in victory, if you're walking around miserable, you're not going to be much good to the person that needs help either. Did you know that you have authority on this earth? Did you know that same dominion or authority that God gave Adam and Eve, you have that authority in this earth? See, Adam and Eve, they had a physical garden to tend and take care of, right? Wasn't that what God said, tend to the garden? We have, if I can say it this way, we have a spiritual garden to tend and take care of. It's called the kingdom of God. And where is the kingdom of God? On the inside of us. Because now the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Then God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and they communed and fellowshiped with one another. Now we can commune with God through our spirit man. Spirit speaking to spirit. Spirit speaking to spirit. And that is why we here at Christian Growth Center want to sow faith. We want to get faith in people's lives. Faith for their understanding of who they are in Christ. And they're going to grow up. We're going to grow them up in righteousness and their right standing with God. His right way of doing things. So that then they can go, right? If you're in a miserable place, you're not going to be much help, right, to that person. So we want to sow faith, grow in righteousness, so that we can walk in the victory, even though all hell is breaking loose around us, even though thousands are falling at our side and 10,000s at our right hand, we don't have to walk in misery. We can walk in victory. And that light is what shines to the world. So why do we say, so grow and go? You know, part of the five-point vision, original vision, Pastor Rob and Tricia shared, is that for us to be a beacon. A lighthouse, a beacon. Well, that's, you know, we're to be a light, right? Individually. And I believe we take that light with us out into the world. But a beacon or a lighthouse is stationary, isn't it? And people are drawn to that light. That's why I believe we've been focused in saying that prayer should be a priority here. Because it plows the ground of your heart and others to receive the Word of God by faith. To receive the Word of God by faith. which is the only thing that can grow righteousness. Or should I say our understanding of righteousness. So that we can be victorious. And we can go and, just like I shared before, preach, herald. You know, Paul gave that, he gave a charge to Timothy. A very serious charge. Charge makes us think of very important, very emphasis placed on it. And he charged Timothy to preach the gospel, to herald, to cry out. Cry out. Take a stand. Right? Take a stand for what we believe in. We don't have to, and I'm not saying we have to throw things in the face of people, but we don't have to cower down. Listen, I know it says turn the other cheek, all that good stuff. But you, it also says to some you have to save with love, or and then some you just got to yank them out of the fire. You got to reach in and yank them out of the fire. And you need to discern when the right time is the right time for love. And when the right time is to reach in and grab them and yank them out. Amen? So what are we believing for, church? What are we in expectation of? When we gather together as a body of believers like today, saints of God, what are we expecting? What are we believing? How many are sitting there with chains wrapped around you, and you sense them squeezing you all the more as you sit? Almost suffocating you to where you can't even breathe. You have the authority to break those chains off of you. You have the power because of the blood of Jesus, because of the name of Jesus, because of what He did, to break those chains off of you. Is it sickness in your body? Is it depression in your mind? Are you just downright mean? No, none of y'all are mean. But what do you come expecting? What do you come expecting? What is your expectation for the body of Christ in the days that we are in? I ask myself the same question. I'm asking you. What is our expectation? Are we content with getting together and doing what we do? Or do you want more? Do you desire more? I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get anything out of the Word of God is if you hunger for more from the Word. You have to hunger. You have to have a desire. You have to want to go deeper. So that's what I hope that I can encourage you in. And remember what I said out of 2 Peter. I mean, part of my mission is to help stir you up continually. Help stir you up to the things of God. You know, it's good to come and teach and learn. But sometimes we need to be stirred up. He said He wants to stir the things that are already in them. These things should be in us. And I'm going to stir them up. Right? Get some move from complacency to compassion. Get some momentum behind the body of Christ, not just CGC, but the body of Christ, to fulfill its destiny. Awaken. To see the church awaken. Awaken to righteousness. Is this too heavy for today? Awaken to righteousness. It's almost as if the church is just, it's like it's holding back. It's holding back, or it doesn't realize its true potential. I'm talking Church Universal. Almost as if it's ignorant of its true potential. So how do you combat ignorance? Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. But you got to be hearing the right things. We can't have itching ears. How many have read, been reading in Romans still? Listen, we've got to get in the Word, okay? You individually have to open that Word up and read it for yourself. You cannot. Indeed, listen, you have to read it for yourself. You have to, because let me say this very carefully. Can you get revelation from someone else telling you what is in the Word? I believe that you can, yes. But I believe that revelation becomes more rooted and grounded in you when you go to the Word directly and receive it. That's not to take anything away from, you know, teachers, preachers, authors out there. But when you go directly to the source, yeah, it's like what we said the other day. You know, I can't go to someone. I mean, and we see record of this in the Bible. I can't go to someone and say, Dean, he's victorious in that area. He says this about it. Well, if they went straight to the Word, and we see that right in the seven sons of Sceva. I adjure you in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They didn't have a revelation of who Jesus was. They just heard Paul talking about Jesus and saw some stuff happening. We need revelation ourselves for this time that we're in. Well, yeah. We do. I hope that I encourage you. I endeavor every Sunday not to be harsh, I don't want to get up here and, you know, I wasn't beating you on the heads, and that's not my intention. But I do want to convey the seriousness of the days that we're in, and the seriousness of the Word, and how we're to handle the Word with seriousness and gain, you know, understanding and wisdom and revelation in the area of the Word, so that we can apply it to our lives and the lives of the people around us. I believe we are in serious times. Right? Yeah. Well, Father, I'm just going to stop there. Father, we come, I believe, in expectation to see signs and wonders and miracles, but not just to witness them, but to participate in them. And not for the signs in and of themselves, but we come to hear the word and then we know that signs will follow. Those things will follow. The word is what sets people free. The word is what brings deliverance in people's lives. The word is what heals. And then we see manifestation of that. So as we preach the word, these things that we expect will come to pass. And I believe that we'll see these things in this body, in various bodies throughout the New River Valley, in the church universal as it awakens. As it awakens. So Lord, I would just ask, Holy Spirit, seal these words to us this day. Let us not walk away unchanged or unchallenged. But let us walk away with a revived and fresh and a desire and a hunger for the things of God. A desire and a hunger to advance your kingdom. A desire and a hunger to fight that good fight of faith that Paul talked about. A desire and a hunger to run the race that you've placed before us. A desire and a hunger to spread your kingdom one soul at a time. So Lord, I thank you for times like this where we can gather together like-minded believers trusting in you. Lord, trusting in you. We put our trust in you. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.